Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by VBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the hosts, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on your history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. For we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBS.com website, Station 2, and include the following: toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494, or toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype. The calling number is BBS Radio, or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, what's ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that inoculations are the true weapons of mass destruction, causing all autoimmune disease and cancer, rather than being something to protect us from disease, as we have been told, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this. And the once feeble calls for cease and desist are now becoming a roaring outcry. So please spread the word about these broadcasts. And I'm so excited tonight to have a special, very special show on What's Healing America. And the answer tonight is upper cervical chiropractic. And before I bring on my very special guest, I just have to mention an article that was in the Charlotte Observer newspaper today on page 8A. vaccine pulled for contamination risk. And I'm sure many of you are getting email blasts about this, and this is a very good opportunity for us to wake up the people that have been duped into believing that vaccines are protecting them from disease. So I suggest that all of you go out and talk about how this vaccine was pulled for contamination risk and ask the person you're speaking to, what is a sterile vaccine? Because obviously it's a bottle of germs. How can it be sterile? And I would look at this as a vaccination that's got a freebie in there, you know, some germ that you can be inoculated with for free. So that's just a little comic relief, but this is actually how you do get through to people. Okay, on tonight's show, my special guest, actually I have a couple of them, Dr. Ray Drury, a upper cervical chiropractor from Charlotte, North Carolina, who I was so pleased to have come to a talk that I gave here in Hickory, North Carolina a few weeks ago. And he's going to be explaining to us about upper cervical chiropractic, what it is, etc. And he also has with him tonight a man by the name of James Tomasi, who wrote a book entitled What Time Tuesday, that talks about the miracle that upper cervical chiropractic did for him as he was suffering for 12 years with something called trigeminal neuralgia, which was so devastating and painful to him that he was actually considering suicide. And this is how wonderful this technique is. And I would just like to welcome you to the show, Dr. Drury. I am so excited to have you on tonight. Okay, I'm having
Dr. Crawley, it's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, great. If you could just explain to the listeners, Dr. Drury, because most everyone knows that all chiropractic repairs subluxations of the spine where the vertebrae are being out of alignment and how that interferes with the flow of nervous impulses, not just to muscles, by the way, folks, but also to every organ of the body. Could you please explain to the listeners what makes upper cervical chiropractic so special?
Sure, Doc. Upper cervical is a specialized form of chiropractic that focuses on the first two bones of the neck, primarily because the brainstem extends down out of the base of the skull down to the bottom of the second bone, and then a spinal cord the rest of the way down. Well, the brainstem controls every function in the body. It's literally like the switchboard operator between the brain and the heart, liver, lungs, kidneys, arms, legs. Everything. It like sends the impulses from brain to the body and then back to the brain. Well, if one of the top two bones get misaligned, and those are the two most freely movable bones in the body, and most susceptible to injury or misalignment, if one of those bones get misaligned, it can actually interfere with that nerve transmission from the brain to the body. And anything less than 100% nerve transmission to anywhere, whether it's a kidney, cell, a liver, pancreas, arm, leg, can end up causing that part of the body not to function as it's intended to, ultimately turning into disease processes, symptoms, etc. Make sense?
And I'm so glad that you underlined that as well, because so many people are under the impression that a chiropractor is somebody that you just go to if you have a backache or if your neck is bothering you after an automobile accident or something of that nature. But what I have realized over the years is that if the spine is out of alignment, and especially now that I found out about upper cervical, because what Dr. Drury said is so true, if those two bones are out of alignment, you can have any symptom. A lot of people that are having abnormalities of their heartbeat, for example, or anything you could mention, imagine the fact that it's actually being caused by those two upper bones, they're called the atlas and axis, being out of alignment. And just imagine going to one of these upper cervical chiropractors and having a problem like that corrected instead of having to go on all these toxic drugs or get a pacemaker inserted into you or any one of these other things that are being done by the white coats, as I call them, for these different problems. So I was so excited to learn about this. And one of the main things I also want to mention and underline is what happens is that once you get those top two bones into alignment, the rest of the spine will actually fix itself. Because as my personal upper cervical chiropractor, Dr. Joe Miles, who I'm so blessed to have just down the road from me in Hickory, North Carolina, explained during the orientation class that we all go to before we start his wonderful treatment, is that a lot of the problems that we're having with our entire spine from, you know, C3 down is actually a reaction of the fact that the head is not properly sitting on the spine. In other words, if your head is slightly off kilter, your brain interprets that as a problem, and since it can't realign C1 and C2 itself, it will actually slowly over time pull different muscles and cause contraction here and there to get your head to believe that it's sitting straight. For example, even scoliosis is something that could be reversed by upper cervical chiropractic because the bones are going out of alignment because they're trying to make your head straight. And this was such an amazing concept to me, and I just want to give my own personal testimonial first in terms of what I have been able to experience from just the few treatments I've undergone. I underwent two very severe car accidents many years ago, and I've been to every chiropractor you can imagine, every type of chiropractic. There's all different types, and I will say that they all helped me, but there's been nothing that has helped me so quickly and to the degree that upper cervical has done. And that is why I am so excited to have learned about this very special type of chiropractic, and I'm now suggesting it to all my clients. Because as I always explain to people, the two main reasons that the nerves do not conduct properly is because either the vertebrae are out of alignment and nerves are being obstructed from flowing properly in some way, or the demyelination that I've described on the show that is caused by the vaccinations actually being attacked by antibodies. Excuse me, the vaccinations causing antibodies attacking the myelin sheath of the nerve. So it's just a wonderful experience to go through this, and I would totally suggest to all of you that you find out if you have an upper cervical chiropractor in your area. And do you have some websites that you could suggest to the listeners, Dr. Drury, that they could go to? Because from what I understand, not all chiropractors know how to do upper cervical, correct?
Correct. Most of us graduate from chiropractic school after, well, first of all, a lot of people don't even realize it, but chiropractors have to have an undergraduate degree, then a postdoctoral degree, which actually is a 5-year program that's usually finished in 4 if they go year-round. Then beyond that, they have to go through postdoctorate training to learn the upper cervical work. So right now, there's probably roughly 1,000 upper cervical doctors in the U.S. and Canada. A couple web pages they can check out is, one is www.uppercervicalcare.com, and then a good friend of ours in Australia, Greg Buchanan, has put together an unbelievable web page also that has a wide range of upper cervical doctors on it at upcspine.com, which is upcspine, S-P-I-N-E.com. Which has a pretty large, that's got upper cervical doctors all over the world.
Excellent. And I just have to mention, it's amazing how things are working out. Some of you might not be aware of the fact that the chiropractors have been attacked for many years by the American Medical Association. And a miracle occurred in August of 1987, where a number of chiropractors actually sued the American Medical Association, the American College of Surgeons, and the American College of Radiologists, who were found guilty by Federal Judge Susan Getzendonner in the U.S. District Court of conspiring to destroy the profession of chiropractic. And that's the extent to which these white coats will go to stop a healing profession such as chiropractic. And that is why I have made this part of my mission for 10 years, to get people to realize that the chiropractors are the true healers. In fact, their quote-unquote medical education, what they need to learn about the body, is in many ways more extensive than what the doctors actually use, learn, the white coats, the medical doctors. Because while we're wasting 2 years of studying of pharmacology, they're actually learning how the body works and how all the different organs are controlled by the nerves and things of that nature, which is really what you need to know. Our Creator gives us innate intelligence on how to be well, stay well, and reverse diseases ourselves. And what the chiropractors are so good at doing is getting your body properly aligned so that it can conduct the impulses it needs to do and get the healing moving. And I just want all of you to realize that that's how far the chiropractors had to go to actually take the AMA to federal court. Because when I was in medical school, I was taught that chiropractors are quacks. And it's very funny because I actually graduated from medical school in 1987. I guess that's the reason I never heard about this lawsuit being won by the chiropractors over the AMA. But this is what's happening. They've been trying to crush the chiropractors for years. And that is why I am so excited to be aligning with the chiropractors to the degree that I am, because it's going to be very funny how it all works out and how the real quacks are eventually going to be exposed. Because although some people think that I'm, angry at the medical profession for different things they've done to me because of my speaking out, that's not what it's about at all. I went to medical school because I wanted to help people, and I am so ashamed of what my profession has become, how they're actually causing disease now. And it's just going to be beautiful how it all works out when people realize that the chiropractors, as far as I'm concerned, should be at the top of the food chain in terms of, you know, medical care in this country. And at least after they won this lawsuit, they were allowed to be covered by insurance and things of that nature. But the upper cervical chiropractors, in my opinion, are going to bring the healing to such a level that it's not going to be able to be viewed upon as coincidence anymore when these people have all these wonderful results from their upper cervical chiropractic care. And if we could, I would just like to bring on Mr. James Tomasi, who wrote the book What Time Tuesday, to discuss what he was experiencing and some of the things that he went through, what the white coat suggested for him, and what the upper cervical care did for him. Are you there, James?
I sure am. How are you, Doctor?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to have you both on the show. Take it away.
Well, we are thanking you very much, too. It's a great opportunity to let this wonderful, best-kept secret of American healthcare out. Upper cervical doctors are just unbelievable guys and women, and they do a job that just is almost unheard of, yet it simply releases this innate power that's within us. Our body is a self-healing organism, and if it's once allowed to do that, it does. In my case, I suffered from a disease called trigeminal neuralgia and was at my dentist's office and was having some much-needed dental work. And when I come out of the chair, this unbelievable pain began to come on my face. And I don't know how many out there listening are know of the facial pain or know someone in their family that have had the facial pain. It's better known in the medical societies or classes as the suicide disease. The pain is so unbearable that you eventually end up killing yourself. I was told and went many different routes. So one of them was before they had me diagnosed, which it took 6 years to diagnose the ailment, I had gotten most of my teeth pulled so that my mouth was empty except for a few teeth. And that was simply because my teeth were always hurting so bad. If the dentist wouldn't have pulled them, I would have pulled them while we searched for why was this pain killing me. Finally, when they got it all the way down to three teeth, I remember the dentist looked at me and he said, well, James, it's not your teeth that's causing that pain. Six years into the pain and still no hope, no way of getting out. From there, I went to a neurologist to begin to diagnose. He did diagnose me with trigeminal neuralgia, tic de la rue, whichever one you want to pick. I only knew whatever they called it. I had never heard of it before. And and it hurt me so bad, I was looking for any kind of relief. And they began to give me drugs. Most of the drugs were for epilepsy.
James, if we could go through this, because this is so important, because, you see, there's so many people listening who either have gone through this road of diagnosis and, you know, traveling with the different drugs. Could you please tell us, how did they diagnose you?
Well, I was sitting in the neurologist's office, and he had taken, he said, first we have to test, and I had noticed in the medical world, the first thing, always, it's test. They need to test you to see where you're at and how far you progress with whatever it is. And I noticed that the bill was always about 90% tests and about 10% diagnosing and prescribing some type of a prescriptive drug. And in his office, he came back and he sat me down and he said, I hate to tell you this, but he says, I'm going to talk to you about a disease called trigeminal neuralgia. There is no known cure for it. It comes and it goes. It may one day leave as quickly as it came, and yet on the other side, it may stay with you the rest of your life. And so he began to give me these epileptic drugs, because there is no real drugs for nerve damage or nerve pain, and apparently the epileptic worked pretty good, so they've been prescribing that, but it does begin to shut your liver down. And after a while, I had three different drugs. I don't remember what they are, and Rhonda's not here. The girl who saved my life was my wife, and she's not here at the moment, and she could tell you the dosage and such. I only know that after a while, Doctor, I became like a zombie. I remember the last 2 years, I stayed on those drugs for the next 6 years. I remember I stayed most of my time in a dark master bedroom of our home, and it's most of the time when I needed to go to the restroom, I couldn't find the door into the bathroom. The drugs had me so doped and so backed up that I could not in my brain figure out where the bathroom was. And I'd bang my head, or I'd be sitting on the floor, laying on the floor. My wife would hear me drop down, and she'd come upstairs and say, "What's the matter?" And I'd say, "Rhonda, I can't find the bathroom. I can't find it." And it's just amazing what went on. And, you know, I want to tell you right now, the doctor, I did not believe that each one of the doctors that I worked with did not truly care about me. I didn't really get a chance to get to talk to them very much, but I thought they were pretty caring. I think they were just simply at a loss. They knew the pharmaceuticals. They knew that they could keep me going that way, but I didn't get the kind of relief, or I couldn't get anybody to give me some hope until finally, at the very end, I began to contemplate suicide. And that's what happened with me. I on Thursday, I made up my mind that I was going to kill myself. And, boy, I felt absolutely, after about a day of knowing I was going to kill myself, I actually began to feel better. I mean, I can now see how that spirit of suicide attacks people and gets them into that mode that you can take your life back over. You don't have to worry about this pain, or you don't have to be disabled or disability or anything. All you have to do is take that gun and shoot yourself. And
obviously, chronic pain is unless you've gone through it yourself, and I actually had a week of chronic pain where I also wished I could die, and it was a side effect of a cervical myelogram I went under where they took out too much spinal fluid, and I had a nonstop migraine with constant vomiting for a week. That's the sickest I've ever been in my life, and that was a result of this medical test. So
yes.
I understand what you're talking about, and anybody that's been in that situation can certainly understand it. Luckily for
me... I agree to that, and I shudder to think, Doctor, how many are out there right this minute, as you and I are speaking, are in that position, that are crying out,
yes,
looking for some way of getting out of this this moment of despair.
I just want to comment. Let me just interject a couple of things. I want to comment on what you said about the doctors caring. I want to make it clear, because obviously I'm very vocal against my profession. I'm not saying that there are no doctors out there that don't care. I myself know of doctors that care. The problem is they are lied to in medical school. They are told that the pharmaceutical drugs are the way to heal the body, and that is the problem. They have no clue how to heal anything. The medical education is totally controlled by the pharmaceutical cartels, and
Absolutely.
This is the reason that they're in the place that they're in.
Absolutely.
One of the main
you
problems
I
have with
that
them.
100%. And
yeah.
I feel just like you do. I don't want them to think that that's the idea. But when you don't know, you don't know. And
exactly.
It's like help has passed them, has gone beyond them, and they've stayed in this drug culture, not allowing the very simple things that you or these doctors do that allows the healing to begin. And it's a shame.
But,
it's a real shame. But, and I want to say this, Dr. Carla, it's women like you, doctors like you, doctors like Dr. Ray Drury and his partner, Dr. Thad Bonio, those men who stand up, they're like facing the wind, and you're like facing the wind, but speaking. But I want to tell you this, your voices are getting louder and louder, and there are people beginning to hear. People that are tired of being under this drug culture, and they want out, and they want to get well. Not another pill, but they want to get well.
And I will tell you that many of those people are actually doctors themselves. And this
yes.
is where
yes.
I get a little upset with those doctors. I've had many doctors come to me for help for themselves or their children, and the problem is that I have is that they then go back and continue to do whatever they do for their patients. And that's
well,
for two reasons,
one
of which is fear.
But, you know, it's
one of which
education.
Is fear because
it's
they know what's going to happen
the
if they stand up to talk about actual healing techniques. And the other thing is because of the prestige of medicine and the idea of admitting to their patients that, you know, that they were taught the wrong thing. You know, there's a whole ego aspect to that. But that's why we're doing what we're doing. And, yes, I know the word's getting out there because I have clients all over the world. And now that I've learned about upper cervical chiropractic and combining that with what I do, I know that that's going to just make the healing happen so much faster. And these people are going to become an army that will not be able to be ignored because, you know, they like to say it's a coincidence. And I would like
yes.
to ask you if you ever went back to any of these doctors that told you there was nothing that could be done. But before you answer that, could you please tell me, because obviously there was a relation of your problem developing to your dental work. Did anybody ever mention that perhaps, you know, something happened to the trigeminal nerve when they were injecting you with anesthesia or whatever? Was there ever even any correlation made with that?
Well, I believe from based on years of study and speaking, and I speak with dentists all over, and I speak a lot with the National Trigeminal Association on a national level, and I've spoken to many that have had that happen in that chair, trying to figure out what is the correlation between that and. And now this is my opinion, but after years of study and talking with several hundred trigeminal neuralgia patients that have gone through their dentist, I've come to the conclusion that it comes from sitting in that chair for 3-4 hours with your head at such an angle that C1, the atlas, or the C2, the axis, moves or shifts in such a way that it rubs against that trigeminal, and off we start. And if my point is, when I go back to my dentist, which I go a lot, I go back with one of those dog bone pillows, and I put it on the back of my neck, and I'm in that chair, and it doesn't bother me.
And I think I totally agree with what you're saying, but I think there's also an aspect to it of the toxins that they're injecting into you, especially the anesthetics during the procedure. And one thing I'm going to ask Dr. Drury to comment on, because that's something that he's taught me, is that the toxins themselves, when you're inundated with a lot of toxins, that can oftentimes cause subluxation in itself. And that was a fascinating thing for me to learn. But before we go into anything else, I understand we have a caller on the line. Anybody there? Is the caller there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, this is Virginia. And I'm
Hello?
Calling about my church. Yes, seeing Dr. Dury.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Well, you're cutting
can
out
you
a little
me?
Bit, but you're cutting out and there's a slight echo, but go ahead. Just talk slowly.
I had brought my daughter at the age of 15 after she had had series of seizures and had lapsed into a coma. When she came out of the coma, she had lost a lot of memory. She was an advanced eighth grader, and upon waking up from the seizure, from the coma, she was in a second grade level. She has worked her way up in education, but when I brought her to Dr. Dury at the age of 14, she was like a little zombie. Was the anti-convulsive medicine that they had her on, the neurologist had her on.
Yes.
And with Dr. Dury, she's been with him 6 years. She is off all medication. She is doing great. She does have seizures, though. She still has breakthrough seizures, but they're not that many. She used to get about 24 to about 55 or 57 a day. Now she only gets a few at the end of her menstrual cycle, and we're still working to bring this to a completion to where she doesn't get any at all. I have never seen her become so alive and partake of life, and she is starting college in January. Had she still been on the anti-convulsant drugs that she was on, I doubt that she would have participated of life and taken life back into her hands.
Well, that's a wonderful testimonial, and you were cutting out in the beginning. I couldn't hear what you said in terms of what brought the seizures on. Was this a vaccine reaction?
Excuse me, can you ask that again?
Yes. I couldn't hear you when you were talking about what happened to cause her to start having seizures. Was this a vaccine reaction?
I am not sure, because at the time that she was a baby, I was not aware that vaccines were harmful. And by the time I did come aware of it, I had the medical profession in New York down my back.
Yeah. Well, they never admit that vaccinations cause seizures, even though that is the one thing that is actually admitted on the CDC's vaccine information statement. And as I always explain to people that call me, the only two causes of seizure disorders are vaccinations and head trauma. Now, aspartame can also sensitize you and make you more likely to have a seizure if you've had a vaccine injury. But those are the causes of seizures. And perhaps someday down the road, you will consider getting a consult from me, because I can assure you that the vaccines have also caused some degree of demyelination. But that is a wonderful testimonial as to how your daughter has been transformed. And you see, this is so common. I'm hearing more and more of this all the time. And is there anything else you'd like to say? Because I want to discuss somebody that I saw that Dr. Dury was working on last week also.
I wanted to say that I am still in contact with the Epilepsy Foundation, trying to help them see that there are different ways of treating these patients, especially when not having the success that the medical profession says you have taking the anti-convulsant drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They are always bringing up new drugs, but the new drugs that they bring up, really old drugs that they had discontinued because of the harm they would cause. Now they're running out of things to use, so they're bringing up the old drugs, calling them new.
Right. Well, I want to commend you. I want to commend you for trying your best to do this. But what you have to realize, Virginia, is that all of these foundations, the Epilepsy Foundation, the different cancer societies, the MS Society, all of them are funded by the pharmaceutical companies. And they will never admit that there's something other than a drug well for these therapies. As a matter of fact, I started contacting some of these agencies when I first developed my protocol, so excited at what I was doing, and I realized very quickly that their actual goal is to keep the truth from the people and to keep them on the drugs. And one of the most amazing things that I found out about a year ago is that the practice of neurology has now even been subspecialized, and there's actually specialized there's specialists that only deal with seizure disorders. And it's exactly what you said. All they do is try one drug, and when that drug doesn't work, they try another drug, and it's just basically changing the drugs. That's all they do. And if the drugs don't work, they'll just start, adding them together into cocktails, and it never fails that the side effects of these drugs are always so bad. As James was saying, he became a zombie, and basically, it sounds like the same thing happened to your daughter. So I commend you for trying with the Epilepsy Foundation, but I think your time would be much better spent just telling the people on the street. This is going to be a grassroots movement. It's got to be the people that makes the medical establishment, realize that we are not going to take their conspiracy, is what it is, to hide the healing therapies that are out there. We need the right to take care of ourselves.
My daughter is actually going into college, and what she wants to become is an upper cervical chiropractor. She wants to stand alongside with them. We just need a key somewhere to actually put an end to the seizures that she does get.
Yeah. Well, as I said, at some point you might want to try my protocol because I'm sure that will help her. But this is a very amazing recovery, and I do thank you for calling. And we run out of time so quickly. I want to mention a miracle that I saw myself last week when I was in Charlotte. One of the things that the upper cervical chiropractors do is they actually go on missions. Now, most of you may not know that most of the doctors that go on missions are actually going there to vaccinate people, and even the churches are involved in this. But what the upper cervical chiropractors do is they go to places where people have actually been damaged by vaccinations. And there was one little girl by the name of Daphne in Italy that had such a severe reaction from her vaccine, and I want Dr. Drury to talk about this case because I saw this for myself, the response that this little girl had from upper cervical chiropractic, and I was amazed how much better she's gotten. And I frankly couldn't understand it because I know she's had massive demyelination. So how could the upper cervical adjustments themselves have made such a dramatic difference? And that's when Dr. Drury taught me that the toxins being injected into you itself can even cause subluxation of your spine. And they have finished with Daphne and gotten her to the point that she's gotten the best result that she can with the upper cervical. Then we're going to put her on my protocol and see how much farther she can go. But if you could just discuss this case, Dr. Drury, because it brought tears to my eyes to see this little girl, and tell, what the medical doctors had suggested as this girl's future, if you would, please.
Sure. Daphne, we got a call about two and a half months ago through some friends of ours in Italy that they knew of a little girl named Daphne that was about to turn 5 years old. And 3 years ago, she got a multiple vaccine shot in one shot, and immediately that night went into a severe fever, had swelling in her legs, and things started to progress until by the 45th day, she was completely paralyzed. Now, being a father, immediately, I just can't imagine that happening to your two-year-old. But they called and they said, you know, they've basically given up on her in Italy and wanted to know if we thought we could help. And we've had experiences with children similar, and I said, yeah, you know, I think we can. So, you know, come on over and let's see what we can do. Well, when they got here, they started telling me actually what happened. And, of course, the parents of Daphne sold everything they had in Sicily and moved up to Milan because that was the pediatric hospital in Italy. And when they got there, they started running all these tests, some genetic tests, and they reported back to the parents that she tested positive on a genetic test, saying she had a genetic disorder that caused her to go paralyzed. Well, obviously the parents didn't quite buy into this because they saw the way things happened after the vaccine. So they went to the guru in Europe of pediatric care in France and had the same genetic test ran, and that genetic test came back negative, saying that it wasn't a genetic disorder, and started, you know, and asked him, of course, well, now, could you know, several months ago, could she have possibly been positive and then later on show a negative test? And, of course, that doctor said absolutely not. You know, it's black and white. It's either positive or it's not, which means that to cover up from the injury of the vaccine, those doctors lied to them to cover up for their partners, I guess, and told them that it was genetic. So once they found out it was vaccine-related, and again, of course, it's due to the demyelination. So they came to America and came in. We x-rayed her. One thing that all upper cervical doctors do is take a very specific set of x-rays that take a while to analyze to come up with a very specific misalignment. So our correction can be absolutely perfect, you know, exactly the way the bones misalign is exactly the way we want to correct it. We have a way of determining if we did correct it, whether it's using instrumentation or follow-up x-rays to see the repositioning of the bone. Then we know whether we're able to help the person. So I told them, well, come on in, let's check you, let's see if we can find a problem going on at the brainstem area, the upper two bones. If we can't, if we do find a problem, then I feel like we will be able to help you. So we x-rayed her. Gave her a first adjustment. We rest the patient for 30, 40 minutes after an adjustment, and then we go back and check them again. Well, after the very first adjustment, they carried her in, and, of course, they speak Italian, so I didn't really know what they were saying. And then the interpreter told me that they were commenting on how now her head's straight. Well, when she came in, her head was completely laid over to one side. Both hands and arms were drawn in. And after the first adjustment, her head was sitting up straight. She was able to look around the room, and within by that evening, both hands had opened up and started to relax. So that was after one adjustment, which parents obviously pretty excited about that. And since then, she's just absolutely awesome. She's just doing great. Now she can stand up on her own. She can sit in a chair. She can her fine motor skills. She can show you how she's going to paint her own fingernails. She can actually feed herself. I mean, it's just been awesome. And this all happened within the first month to 6 weeks. She's been under care now for about a month, and that's the other thing I want to mention about upper cervical doctors. We have a way of determining when they need to be adjusted and when they don't. And, like, she's only had just a few adjustments over that time. Her last adjustment now has held about 3 weeks. So, you know, if we can adjust somebody, move the bone back where it ought to be, and remove these problems, one of the problems that, you know, that can happen is if you adjust somebody when they don't need it, then obviously these problems could be introduced or reinduced. So I think that's a very important part of what we do. One thing I want to comment on, you were talking about the what can actually cause a subluxation, and it's a stress. There's three different stresses: physical stress, slips, falls, accidents, even the birthing process. Chemical stress, obviously toxins, which we all know the immunizations are loaded with. alcohol, prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, any kind of toxin in that sense, and then also emotional stress. Emotional stress can really completely just wipe you out, especially if there's already a small subluxation there that may not be producing a whole lot of symptoms, and then you know, a family member dies, you know, you fail out of school, you know, some sort of stress like that just on the body, emotional stress can just wrench that subluxation and just magnify symptoms or create new symptoms, and it can really get ugly.
And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that has helped me to understand just how important it is to address both of these issues, because once the bones are in proper alignment, of course, the healing process can begin. And once you start to detoxify yourself, then you're going to be able to hold the adjustments longer. And a very important thing I just want to mention, because I actually have a very special client in Ohio who I know is listening right now, who has multiple sclerosis, and he's kind of getting very hopeless. Of course, one of the reasons for this is that he's on so many drugs. And I want him to understand that it's the drugs that are causing him from not being able to heal himself. And luckily for them, they do have an upper cervical chiropractor near them who I've referred this couple to, him and his wife. And one of the concerns that she had was the fact that the persons have to be x-rayed. So I want to make it very clear to everybody listening, even though I'm always telling you that radiation causes cancer, there are times when you need to get x-rays, and certainly initiate your chiropractic adjustments is one of those times. And the number of x-rays they do is very few, and of course there's homeopathic nosodes that can always detox radiation down the line. So I just want to make that clear, that this is not like what the white coats do. They go in and x-ray your whole body. This is a very specific set of x-rays that are done just on those first two bones. And it's just so amazing when I watch Dr. Miles calculate what he needed to do with me. It's very scientific. They can actually tell exactly where they have to move the bones, how much they have to move the bones. And I will also tell you that it does not hurt at all. I've had, a few chiropractic adjustments. In the beginning, I go to what I call the bone crunchers, where they would actually take my head and twist it very quickly, and sometimes it wasn't real comfortable. But these adjustments are also so mild that I really can't even feel anything happening, but I know that something good happened afterwards. So I just wanted to make that very clear to the listeners as well.
Right. And as far as the x-rays go, you're right. And you have to look at, you know, what outweighs what. You know, my daughter was born with the cord wrapped around her neck. And when I saw the trauma that went along while I was in the room when she was born, the first thing I thought was, oh, my God, she needs to be adjusted. But, you know, this is my daughter. Of course, I treat my patients as if they were my kids as well. But first thing I thought was, when we get out of here, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go and x-ray her, because I want to know exactly how those bones are positioned so I know exactly how to put them back in. So, you know, to me, the pros definitely outweigh the cons, even on an infant. And she's been healthy as a horse ever since, and thank God.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because, of course, the way the deliveries are done in this country is also insane. You know, in the tribal countries, the way women deliver babies is pretty much they squat and they let nature and gravity just help them push the babies out. But in this country and most of Western countries, they're injecting them with anesthetics. If they give them epidermals, they're actually paralyzing them from the upper chest down. And so the doctors have to yank on the baby's head, and you can just imagine the possible problems that that's going to cause in the neck. And that's why I advise all my clients that if I was you, once I have a baby, that's one of the first things I would do, as Dr. Drury said, is to have that baby evaluated by a chiropractor. And if you're lucky enough to have an upper cervical chiropractor near you, to take that baby and have that baby adjusted, because the benefits of that done right away is just amazing. And isn't it also true, Dr. Drury, that the earlier you correct a problem, that the less likely it's going to be able to not hold, that it will hold the adjustment for longer?
Oh, definitely, especially in little ones. Infants, babies, oftentimes hold their adjustment for months at a time. And the sooner you get in there and make that correction, the easier it is to hold. And if somebody comes to me and they've had a problem for 30 years, I know obviously it's going to typically take longer than if somebody had the problem for 3 months. So definitely
yes.
Makes a big difference.
Yes, which is also true for what I do. And that's what people have to realize, is that it may take longer, but as long as you are still breathing, it's never too late. And that is another problem I have with my profession, is that they fill people with fear, and they make them believe that the only thing you can do is take the drugs. And I just want to reiterate what Dr. Drury had said about Daphne, that they had basically told the parents to go home, she's going to die, there's nothing else that we can do. Not only that, but to lie to the parents and make them believe that this child had a genetic defect, which, of course, would make them be leery of even having any children in the future. So they're destroying this entire family just to cover up the fact that they had damaged the child with vaccines.
Yeah, Doc, you're right. I totally left that part out. When they called us, they sent them home and said, your daughter has 3 months to live, and just take her home. And that's when they called us. And she's just been a shining light in our office since she's been here. So, it's scary. It's scary what these people are being told.
Yes, it is. Well, I have to say, and I speak for myself, because I know that I'm probably one of the most outspoken people about my profession, but I feel I have a right to be so, because I've seen what they do. I've seen it all, folks, and this is evil. In my opinion, this is evil, what they're doing, because the timeline, as Dr. Drury explained, she had a vaccine reaction immediately. It may have taken 45 days to get to the point where she was basically totally paralyzed, but her legs swelled up, and there was obviously a problem from the get-go. And I'm sure all of you know about the vaccine injury compensation fund that's been put up by Congress to have the taxpayers fund the damage to vaccinations that are done. But these are only the vaccination injuries there that are admitted. And I'm sure all of you know somebody that has an obvious vaccine reaction in their child, and they go to the doctor, and the doctor almost never will admit that it's a vaccine reaction. So even though over $1 billion has been paid out since that fund was established, that is just a drop in the bucket as to the actual damage that's been done by vaccinations. And I can't believe it, Dr. Drury and James, we're already out of time. But I just want to thank both of you so much for being on the show. I hope that all of you will check things out, see if you have an upper cervical chiropractor in your area. As I said, all chiropractic is good, and I love chiropractors. They've been my team for a very long time now. But I do have to say, whenever I find something that's better than something that I've used before, I always tell the truth about it. And just like I will replace certain supplements in my protocol if I find something better, I am convinced without any doubt that upper cervical chiropractic is the top of the line in terms of chiropractic, and I would suggest to all of you to check it out, whether or not you have an obvious problem or not, to go and see if your upper cervical bones are out of alignment, and if they are, get them adjusted and just see the difference that it makes in your health. So if you could just, in closing, Dr. Drury, mention those websites again that the listeners can check out. And if any of you listening know that somebody that you love needs to hear this show, just remember, folks, these shows are all archived. You can listen to these shows anytime in the future. Just wait until about the end of the weekend, the show should be up. So please do give out those websites again, Dr. Drury.
Okay. One of them is uppercervicalcare.com. One of them is upcspine.com. And then James's webpage is whattimetuesday.com. And if anybody would like a copy of his book, you can go to that webpage. And it's got a lot of testimonials and good information on upper cervical as well.
Yes. I've met James in person a couple of times, and this man just radiates health. And I'm sure you would agree, James, that going through what you went through and being on the verge of suicide and then getting your health back, there is no greater gift that you could ever experience.
Well, there really isn't, Doctor. As you well know, you can have all the money in the world. You can be able to afford anything that life has to give. But if you don't have your health, you really have nothing. You can sit alone in a room all by yourself, and the money can be sitting in the bank and the boat in the harbor and the cars in the garage, but so what? If you don't have your health, you don't have your life. And, yes, I am experiencing now for the last 10 years that I've been under upper cervical care, I've been experiencing a life like I never had before. Even little things, all my allergies have disappeared. My ingrown toenails have straightened out. The most simple things that you can imagine a person's body that I took for granted that I just would have to learn to live with, oh, it straightened itself out. So I wholeheartedly agree with the both of you. They need to find one of these upper cervical doctors, get under the care, and get their head on straight, and then begin to live the life they've been called to do.
Amen to that, and thank you so much. I am so happy to have found your group and so honored to be working with you. And I'm going to do everything that I can do, I assure you, to bring upper cervical throughout the world. Because once we heal, then we can have peace. Just imagine all these happy people walking around the earth. How could they possibly want to be involved in wars?
That's exactly right. Why? What for what? You know,
exactly.
I feel good. I feel great. Love to spend time with my children, my grandchildren. Love to spend time with my grandparents, you know, whichever it happens to be. Instead of sending our young men and women off to war someplace.
Exactly. So we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank both of you for being on the show. And perhaps we'll do an update in regards to Daphne again down the line, because she's going to be doing some of my things as well. And Dr. Drury's group is actually going to do a documentary. I've actually seen parts of it myself, so I've seen for my own eyes what this girl looked like when they first started working on, and I actually saw her in person last week, and it is a miracle, folks. So I'm so happy to have this opportunity to get the good news out to you. As you know, I usually talk about what's ailing America, but there's a lot of good news out there, too, and this is some of the best news I could possibly bring your way. So God bless you both. Thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Doc.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.